Yeah, Romans 10, verses 1 to 17. Let's just pray. Father, we just, you would help us this morning. Father, where there's distractions, Lord, we pray, Father, that our mind would be concentrated on you. Lord, that we would be focused on your word and allow your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and to really draw us closer to you, Lord, that we would know more of you. And Lord, as we read Romans 10, Father, that we would see the passion and the desire of Paul for his fellow Israelites. And Father, that we would have that same passion to see others to come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. I just pray, Father, you would help us today. In Jesus' name. So in Romans 10, 1, it says, "Brother, my heart's desire in prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. But it was kind of the wrong zeal. It was a zeal that was religious zeal. But you think about a spiritual zeal. That's the one we should have. And that's what he wants our Israelites to have, the spiritual zeal for him. But not according to knowledge. So we can have all this head knowledge, right? And nothing against head knowledge. But is our hearts have a zeal for God? Are we sold out wholeheartedly in our hearts to God? Or do I just get my mind filled and nothing goes from here down to the heart to really transform my life? We could go through all the motions. We could go through all the things, sit and learn all about the Bible, but not really allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our hearts, to transform our lives. Right? We're trying to check all the boxes, but is he transforming us? Do I have a deeper desire to know the Lord? And does the world, because I know the world is trying to drag us away from the Word of God. Everything the devil wants you to do is not to follow the Lord. He'll dangle this carrot and draw you away and to say, you know what? You don't need to go to church. You don't need to be part of a fellowship. You don't need to be part of a Bible study. You don't need to be part of a prayer group. You'd be okay by yourself. And when you're by yourself, is that a good thing? You need fellowship with other believers, like-minded people who will draw you and keep you accountable, to be praying for you, to encouraging you, to help you along the way, because we all face different struggles. Right? Not one of us, I don't think, has a struggle. We all have struggles. And Satan really wants everybody not to be part of a fellowship, to be accountable to one another. He wants you to have, you're okay, you're fine. You're okay. You know what? You go to church next time when you feel like it. Right? He wants you to be separated. He wants you to believe a lie. And so we have all these head knowledge stuff. Is my heart being transformed more and more every single day for the Lord? Am I dying to self? Or am I allowing the flesh to grow stronger each day? Right? Verse 3, it says, "For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking and have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Because they believed that the law gave them righteousness. The law only revealed how sinful we are without Christ. Jesus fulfilled the law. The law draws us to the Lord and makes us realize how much we need the Lord Jesus. Having not submitted to the righteousness of God, how we submitted to the righteousness of God. Am I submitting to God today? Do I submit to God this afternoon? Will I submit him tomorrow? It's day by day. Am I submitting? Am I yielding? Am I trusting? So we could go through all the motions, but am I submitting? In verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. He is our righteousness. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does these things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do you not say in your heart, who will sustain into ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he has risen, God has risen him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth one confesses made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon his name. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall we call on him who we do not believe? Have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know, even though the preacher, it's not just the person stands up front. You know, we're all called to be ambassadors in Christ. God has given all of us a mouthpiece to use it for his glory, for his purpose. We all are placed in certain areas of our lives. We all have different jobs. We all have different influences. And guess what? We get to share the gospel with those people. We share by talking about the Word of God. Have you ever shared your self, how you came to know the Lord? Have you ever shared how God's working in your life to somebody at work who's maybe not a believer? Should be like a habit. Because sometimes we get a little frightful to share about what's happening in your life or how God's been using you. It should be like, this is what God's doing in my life today. This is what God's showing me in the Word of God. It's amazing how sometimes we don't want to talk about the Word of God, but we'd rather talk about everything under the sun. But the Word of God. Should we not talk about him more often because of who he is? Of how he's redeemed us, how he's saved us, how he's transforming our lives, and how we are surrendering more and more to him because of our love and adoration for him? Should I not want to talk about my Lord and Savior more and more all the time? When we do that, what does that do? It glorifies him. Shows how that we're dependent on him, how we trust him. That I desire that my life would not be as abundant, that his life would be more abundant in my life. I think sometimes we get so caught up in the world that we start thinking like the world. And we use God as Jesus as our safety pin, knowing that we can't lose our salvation. So I just carry on living my life however I feel like it. Well, in actual fact, we can't and we should not. We should live because we don't know the day or the hour he's going to take us home. And so if this was your last day on earth, if you knew today was your last day, how would you spend your last day? Your last hour? Even when we know we have friends and family who do not know Christ, or co-workers, how would you spend your last day? And how shall they preach unless they are sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Therefore, if anyone... we'll stop there. That's a different scripture. You think about how Paul had his love for his very infectious love for his comrades. In Romans 9:2, it talks about how he was willing to, Romans 9:2, I'm going to read, that I have great sorrow and continue grief in my heart. I think that's one thing, that's my prayer, that I have great sorrow for the lost. That'd be more the heart of God, wouldn't it? Do we have a heart for the lost? Do we have great sorrow? I was in Rimby just sitting, I'll go to the coffee shop, whatever, and trying to think of how many people in the coffee shop or in this place are actually saved. Do we see people as people, or do we see them as saved or lost souls? How many people do we interact with daily? Have you ever wondered how many of the people that you interact with are actually believers? We have the good news. We have everything that we need. And think about the lost. This is like for my heart, this is what I've been like, Lord, I really want to know I desire to be used by you. I desire to have this heart for the lost. Just like Paul is. He was even willing to give up his salvation. He goes, Lord, take it from me. Let me be a curse for me. But you can't lose your salvation. You can't give your salvation. But it was emotional. He was emotional because he was like, Lord, I really want to give so I'd be accursed so these people get saved. I don't care if I go to hell or not. I want these people to be saved. Do we have a passion for the lost? Do we desire to share the gospel? What happens when you start sharing the gospel? What happens when you start sharing the word of God? Increases your own faith. Correct. Right? We don't become like the Dead Sea and get stagnant. Right? If we're sharing what's happening, sharing our faith, what God is doing in our lives, doesn't that stir you to share more? Be like football, hockey. Man, we could talk endless about hunting, hockey, football. We could tell you the stats of each player. We could tell you every single thing. We get so excited. We're doing, paint our faces, put on our jerseys, do all this stuff. Right? How come we don't have the same passion for that as for the Lord? Is it fear of saying people think that you're too religious? You're too much of a Jesus freak? Telling about all your, CDs and records and movies? Your cars? Does that mean anything? Not really. God's given you a habit, a hobby. But are we sharing the gospel with people that we interact with? Do I share the gospel? Not all the time. But do we have that desire? Do I see that person as a lost soul? Maybe perhaps we get complacent because we know where we're going to end up when we die or when we fall asleep. We get to be with our Savior. All those who do not know Christ, they end up in hell, ever separated from the knowledge of Christ, ever tormented, ever in pain. No, nothing will ever satisfy them for all eternity. You know, in 2 Timothy, it says, 2 Timothy 2, 21, it says, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the lather, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful to the, for the master, prepared for every good work. 2 Timothy 2:21. I think that was one of my first scriptures I learned. But do we desire to be used by the master? Do I surrender more and more every day? It's like, Lord, I really want to be used by you so that you be glorified and not me. Do we pray for the lost? Do we have this passion to pray for the lost? I know I handed out just that one card. You know, we're praying for the people that we know intimately. Are we, you know, do we continue to pray for them? Right? And have we had any breakthroughs? I know some have shared, like, we have people are coming to faith and repenting and getting right with one another because of the fasting. God desires us to be praying, spending time with Him, being intimate with Him. You know, when we, you know, do we care? I want to care more. Because this world could really, you know, take you away from what really matters in life. You know, this is, I heard of Adrian Rogers. I don't know if anybody knows Adrian Rogers. Is an older preacher. And he says, he asked this woman, he was preparing for this one service, and this the housemaid came in, or the lady from the hotel comes in, and he asked her a question. He says, what do you think man's greatest spiritual need is? And so she says, without hesitation, that has to be peace. She goes, I'm alcoholic, and that is one way I try to find peace in my life. Then he politely cleared his throat, and he explained to her about Jesus. And he said what Jesus said. So Jesus said, peace I give you, my peace I give as not as the world. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. And believe also in me, John 14, 27. Within minutes, that woman trusted Christ as her Savior and Lord. Obey the Lord and share the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ with everyone you can. Realize that our obedience is what pleases the Lord above all things. Isn't that just amazing how simplicity, asking a question, right? And what we see happening nowadays in the news, how we see the world really getting so much wars, mass murders. You know, just even in Syria, I think there's over 4,000 people have been slaughtered in the last week. And the majority of them are Christians. Think about that. And nobody says a word about it. The news doesn't say anything about it. You hardly even hear about it. But as soon as Israel does something, you hear it all over the thing. So isn't that demonic? How the spirit, the devil doesn't, once everybody starts to hate the Jewish people, the Israelites. But rather in what's happened in Syria, when you have ISIS running the country, killing over 4,000 people in a week, you don't hear anything about it. And the United Nations inviting that president now, proclaimed president, to come there to speak, and nobody's condemning them. It's like, wow. How can you not be praying for those who are being persecuted? How can you not be praying and asking the Lord for direction? How can you not, the church, we ought to be praying and seeking the Lord's face and praying and see how we could help. You know, in Exodus 32:32, Moses even prayed to God to forgive their sin. He says, even blot my name out of the book. Moses, even when the Israelites sinned against God, when Moses is up getting the Ten Commandments, and they, within were a length of time, they went back to the devil, you know, they were worshiping a golden cow. Meanwhile, they were following God day and night. And they seen the presence of God. But Moses says, "Let now, if you forgive their sin, but if not, I pray to blot out his name out of the book." Like, that's a love for the people who don't know Christ. Do we ask? Sometimes we ask for revivals, don't we? Do we ever ask for revival in my own heart? We're always asking, Lord, I pray for a revival in this country. But how do revivals start? Individually. Repentance. Repenting of your sins. Repenting of your ways. Repenting of putting God out of the country, putting God out of our daily life, or even our politics, schools, anywhere. Do we repent on the behalf of this country for all the abortions that happen day in and day out? Do we repent on the behalf of what's happening in this world? In order for a revival need to be started, it needs to be first in our own lives. Do we have this zeal, spiritual zeal for the lost? Do we have this desire to see God move in our own lives and in this nation? Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be given and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Are we seeking and asking the Lord for salvation of family members? Are we seeking, Lord, for to be used in this town, within the governments, with our schools, right? The church should be involved, the body of Christ should be involved in every facet of this society. Just think what happens if born-again believers who are in love for the Lord be involved in the school boards, be involved in schools, to be involved in politics, to be involved in different facets of this community. What would happen? We get to share the truth of the gospel, and people would actually see that we actually have a love and a passion for that we desire them to be transformed, to know our Lord and Savior. I always think about what would really happen if even, I would even go 40% or 50% of the body of believers actually would do that. Right? You know, as I say, 10% of the church is, you know, when I say the church as a whole, it's like, you know, the body of around the world. If 10% is doing something, what happens if we went to 40% or 50%? Could you imagine what would happen in society? When God is first in our society, when God is first in our life, when God is first in every aspect of our lives. Wow, Satan would be hiding Because then people will be walking in the fullness of Christ, because he empowers us to walk in the strength of the Lord, to come against demonic things, to break down the stronghold, to pray against and pray for people to be healed, lives be transformed. Think of the opportunities that we get every single day. Right? Do we take hold of those opportunities? Sometimes we don't. Right? But it's like, Lord, help me for the next one. I want to be used. Is there that willingness to be used by the Lord? And we're not going to always get it right. We're going to share from our hearts and share, like, Lord, help me to speak into this person's life. What do you want me to say to them? Do you want me just to pray for them? It doesn't have to be this big grandeur or anything, but just showing the love and compassion for them. Think of the opportunities that we have. John 3:18, my children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Don't just love it by word of tongue, but by action. James 5:16. This is about prayer. Prayer is so vital for the believer and for the congregation. Prayer is a time of aligning ourselves with God Almighty. To say, Lord, I really want to come into alignment with you. I really want to know your heart. I really want to get all my stuff together because I can't. But I need you to help me to focus what I need to be focused on. And so, my little children, let us not... Oh, sorry. James 5:16. It's not there? Oh my goodness. I really blew that one. James. Who has James 5:16? It's in there? Therefore.
Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective.
Amen. It's powerful and effective. But you get this, when he's, in 5:16, when it says, confess your sins to one another, we confess our sins. That's part of repentance and also revival. Because we all do blow it every day. It's like, Lord, forgive me for sinning today against you. Then he goes, you know what? Thank you. When you confess your sins, he goes, I choose not to remember them any longer. The Satan then does not have a stronghold against you. He cannot start coming alongside and put all the stuff into your mind and condemning you or anything, because it's all been dealt with. We keep a short accounts. But prayer is effective. It's powerful. You know, and when Jesus, in Matthew 9:35-38, when Jesus was with his disciples and they seen this field of people, the harvest. So then Jesus went out to all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. The lost. He was moved with compassion. Because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. They were lost. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers into his harvest. Did we pray for laborers for the harvest? I think about even this one gentleman we know. He's not a believer. I share the gospel like he's a believer. I share to him. We were talking about the other night about Revelation. And I talk to him about different parts of the gospel. As though he's a believer. I don't treat him any differently. And he's asking more and more questions. And he's hungry for the word. I think a lot of people who are not born again are hungry for the word of God. Because they don't have peace. They do not have joy. Right? But when it was Jesus, so so you always can do more after you pray. Because you're not doing it in your own strength. We pray first. Which prayer brings you into alignment to the will of God. When we start to pray for the lost, you may be surprised of the answer. So in Matthew 10:1, then when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases. So then verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into into the way of the Gentiles. So they were supposed to preach to the Jewish people first. Right? And do not enter a city of the Samaritans. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And also you go preach and say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick and cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead and cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. He sends out his children. He sends us out. Since we are born again, if we're a born again believer, we are infilled with the Holy Spirit, who empowers us and enables us. We can come against a scheme of the enemy. We can bind things up. I think of, you know, my wife, there's one lady who is a believer. She doesn't know about spiritual authority that she has. She's hungry because she wants to know about the spiritual authority that she has in Christ. But the church doesn't preach that. But he wants us to be involved. He wants us to go out to share. Because he sent them. They were praying for laborers. And then in Matthew 10:5-8, he sends them out. So if we're praying for the lost, don't be surprised that Jesus sends you out. And it could be scary. Because it's different. But don't be afraid, because he says that he will put the words in our mouths. The Holy Spirit will prompt you what to say and what not to say. So it's think of it as an adventure. It's like, Lord, I really want to be used by you today for your glory and for your purpose. Lord, help me to open my mouth so that your voice will come through. And you think, so prompting turns into prayer. So God puts a heart, this prompting on our heart for the lost. And so as when we start in prayer, we get more concerned for them, a deeper desire for them. For your heart deepens and you want to see the lost being saved. Then it will cause us to respond. He puts that desire in our hearts. We pray, And then eventually we're like, Lord directs you out, and we respond by stepping out. Putting faith into action, actually. Right? It's like, Lord, help me to step out. How do you have a child step out first time? He might fall, but the Lord says he's always beside us. He's always with us. He doesn't just abandon you. He's always there with you, and he gives you the Holy Spirit to help you, to say the words. You think about how in Acts 13, 3 to 4, and it's just how the Holy Spirit, because God will send you out. Then, having fasted and prayed, that's the heart of the church, prayer and fasting. They sought God. They looked for his heart. They seeked his heart, I should say. For his will. They didn't just go out and just say, oh, I'm going to start this new program. But they went into, they got together as a body of believers and prayed and fasted. Then, having fasted and prayed, and the elders laid hands on them and sent them on the way, the two disciples. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So God, the Holy Spirit, sent them out. He sends us out. Do we respond? Not all the time. But is there that willingness? It's like, has to start in the heart. I don't just do this because I think it's the right thing to do. It is the right thing to do. But is the Lord prompting you? But you pray for that prompting, that desire. And he will give you that. He gives you that desire. He will fan that desire deeper and deeper. And then he's going to release you. We have so much of the Word of God. We know the Word of God. But if we're not exercising the Word of God, putting faith in action, we get fossilized. We get complacent. And we're like, wondering why the church isn't growing. We're asking, Lord, why aren't we doing things? Why is he not moving in here? Because maybe we're not being obedient. We're not trusting. We're not relying on him. And when we pray, Lord, stir us. I think about how can we, as a body of believers in this town, reach out to the lost. I know we talked about a VBS. And it's like, VBS would be awesome. But that takes commitment. Are we willing to make a commitment? Are we willing to pray? Lord, is this of you to do a VBS, to be an outreach into this community? Is this sacrifice? Am I willing to sacrifice my time and my loves for you? How can we reach this community? Are we praying for the community? Do we want to be involved in the community? These are just questions I ask. Only you could answer. Hopefully I'm not coming across condemning, but it should be a desire. Lord, do I have a heart for the lost? And if I don't, why not? Are we filled with compassion for all the people that we see and know? And if we don't, then why not? I think those are good questions, isn't it? And how will we respond? Hopefully we go to prayer and fast. Seek the Lord. It's like, Lord, so after my heart that I would have this love and compassion for the lost. That I would see that you be glorified in this community. Not that the church would be glorified, but you be glorified. To see the other churches coming in together and presenting the gospel to the lost in this community. I'll just close in prayer. I didn't get to what I wanted to speak on. Anyways, next Sunday, maybe, if we're not caught from raptured by then. Father, I thank you for Paul, just who had a heart for the lost. And Lord, I pray that we would have the same heart for the lost. That, Lord, that you would stir in us a deeper desire to see people saved. And Lord, that we would yield our lives wholeheartedly to you. And Lord, wherever there is strongholds in our lives that we don't want to lay down, I pray, Father, that you would speak to us by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would reveal to us where we're not laying down or what we're not laying down. But Lord, help us to have a heart for the lost, to share the truth of the gospel to our friends and family, co-workers, classmates. Lord, that we will wholeheartedly share. And Lord, that we would share from our hearts on how you saved us, how you drew us to you, and Lord, how you're transforming our lives day in and day out. I just pray, Lord, that it be like second nature, Lord, that we would share the gospel with others. I'm not worried about what others may think, but I know, Lord, that you're going to bring people to us, Lord, and that their hearts would be softened, and their hearts would be, the hardness would be plowed up. So they'd be able to receive that word. And Lord, that as that word is planted, I know that you're going to water it. You're going to grow that seed. And Lord, that those people that are loved ones, Lord, they would come to know to a saving faith. That we would receive the true Jesus as their Lord and Savior, as their Redeemer, as their hope. Pray, Father, for this community, Father, that I pray that you would give us opportunities. We just pray, Father, you would show us how you want us as a congregation to be used within this community. Lord, that we would be responsive to you. And Lord, to pray for them. We just pray for the other churches too, Father, that you would use them and bless them and strengthen them and encourage them. Father, that you would stir in their hearts as well as ours for the lost in this community. We just pray, Father, that you would keep us mindful of you day in and day out. And I thank you, Lord, that you are preparing us and that you're going to be sending us out because there is the harvest ready. So, Lord, help us be willing. I ask this in Jesus' name.